Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. My God, speak over yourself. No matter what you're going through, know that you have the victory in Jesus. There's nothing that you are facing today that is too difficult for our God to handle. So go ahead, my sister, and encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. Encourage in the word. Amen. Encourage yourself in prayer. Encourage yourself in praise. Encourage yourself in worship. Hallelujah. Get in line with another sister. Amen. And you guys encourage each other. Amen. Because we need each other. I need you and you need me. Amen. And praise the Lord. Welcome to Women to Women. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and again, it's a blessing and an honor to be coming to you live on today. I am so excited. I am excited about what God has in store for us. We have been highlighting women throughout the last couple of months. The Lord has led me to highlight women who are making a difference in the kingdom and in the world. Oh, yes, because we can't just be up in the church making a difference, but we do need to go out into the secular arena and also make a difference in the lives of the people that we encounter on a daily basis. So I have been led to highlight women who are making a difference, who have embrace the word of God, embrace the spirit of the Lord, and are being led by the Holy Ghost to go out there and make a difference, to change the world for the kingdom of God. So we're taking it by force. Oh, yes, we are. We're not just sitting back. We're not just sitting back and letting the devil have his way, but we are women on the move for Jesus. Amen and praise God. So I've had a great time. I have interviewed author Valerie Allen and author Gazelle Simmons. I've had the opportunity to have the fitness expert, Mercer Hayden, here, and she helped us in the area of health and wellness with our bodies. So now today, we have a very special guest with us, and she will be helping us in the area of health and wellness with our soul. With our soul and our spirit, and this woman is phenomenal. I'm talking today about Clarencia Shade, Dr. Clarencia Shade. She has an MSW, and she's also a licensed clinical social worker. She is equipped academically and anointed spiritually to strengthen spirits and breathe healing into hurting souls. She strongly believes that when it comes to dealing with emotional and relationship issues, lofty advice and passionate encouragement are limited remedies on their own. Hurting people need practical solutions that they can actively, that they can put into motion in their lives. With her unique brand of teaching that combines clinical experience in the field of social work with her ministry as a licensed evangelist. Oh yes, Ms. Shade is also an evangelist. She has a lasting impact on her audience because she provides them with a clear path to achieving victory over emotional pain in their lives. Have you ever had any emotional pain that just wouldn't let go? I know about emotional pain, and I tell you, I am a witness that Ms. Clara Shade, Dr. Clara Shade, evangelist Clara Shade, is able to help in those areas where you are experiencing emotional pain. I need to slow down. I'm so excited. Clara Shade helped me and my husband 14 years ago when we were getting ready to get married. She counseled us in our premarital counseling sessions that were required by the church. And I do commend Dr. Bishop Donald Hilliard Jr., Bishop Dr. Donald Hilliard Jr., for making it a requirement that we go through premarital counseling for two reasons. One, because we would have never made it this far had we not been equipped with the premarital counseling that we obtained while we went through the 8 weeks and then sat down with Dr. Clara Shade. And two, had we not had to go through that counseling, I would not have had the privilege of sitting under the ministry of Dr. Clara Shade. And what she gave us and what the church gave us has allowed my husband and I to be happily married for 14 years. Woohoo! Hallelujah. And I'm just praising the Lord for that. This is an awesome woman of God, I tell you. And because of that, my husband and I are also releasing a book on marriage this year. So I am certain that her ministry is effective. Amen. So she does exactly what Bishop did, combines the clinical with the spiritual. And I tell you, we all need a little bit of help in the area of spirituality, and we definitely, some of us definitely need to see a counselor or a psychologist because of some of the past hurts that we have encountered. So welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the chat room. We have people gathering in the chat room. I also want to welcome those who are already on the phone lines. I see the switchboard is lighting up. We're going to bring our guest on. I just want you to call somebody. Let somebody know that Pastor Rebecca is on the air with Woman to Woman, and her special guest today is not just a preacher, although she is a preacher, and not just a counselor, although she is a counselor, but a preacher who is also a licensed clinical social worker who's going to help us to get to the bottom of some of these issues that we experience on a day-to-day basis, sitting up in the church but still crippled, still bent over. So tell somebody to call in. You can listen while you do your chores, while you run your errands, plug in a Bluetooth, and call in to 646-652-4832 or go to the radio website, blogtalkradio.com/power. Okay, well, let's bring Clara Shade on the air. I just want to get her on the air. I believe this is her. I made one mistake this week. I did not ask my guest to give me her phone number. So, Dr. Clara Shade, I believe this is you, area code 732. No, that's not Clara Shade. Let me go to this other area code. Area code 856. Dr. Clara Shade? Okay,
no.
That's not her. Okay, here she is. Amen. Okay, here she is. Amen. I'm glad the switchboard is lit up. I thank God for those who are calling in from New Jersey. I want to give a shout out to all of those who are already on the switchboard. Dr. Clara Shade is calling us in from the 973 area code. Dr. Shade, welcome to Woman. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled.
I tell you, I am so excited. I can't even get my words straight today because I have been waiting for this opportunity to have you. I'm highlighting you. I wanted to feature you today as a woman of power, a woman who is making a difference in the lives of so many. And I know that you're busy, so I'm just very blessed that you agreed to come on and be my guest.
I'm very excited that you would have me, and I'm thankful for the things that we're going to discuss today because I think it opens up a venue that needs to be exposed.
Yes, yes. So I'm going to, I've already introduced you. There's no introduction that is adequate because what you're going to share with us today, I'm sure is going to outweigh anything I've already said about you. And I want you to know that's not flattery. I often tell people I'm not impressed with what they have and what they have done as far as accomplishments, but I'm very impressed with the God in people. And I know that you are a woman of God. I know that you are just on this mission field, you know, making great sacrifices for the kingdom, you know. So I just am just really going to be quiet. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to just move on because I want to highlight you. I want to talk about soul hold. I know there are a lot of people saying, well, what is a soul hold? But let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name, and we worship you, Lord. Lord, we magnify your name today. You are worthy, God. You are so worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for your women and some men also to come here today on Blog Talk Radio, Father God, to talk about soul hold and emotional wellness, oh, Father God, and spiritual wholeness, oh God. So, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you will continue to bless this time that we are together. Let the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths be acceptable to you, God. Save souls, change lives, set the captives free. Speak to somebody who is hurting today, God. Even use Dr. Evangelist, Dr. Clara Shade, to your glory, God, as you have been and will continue to do, God. But, Lord, use her to manifest a breakthrough in somebody's life on today, God. And even as her ministry and as she is being highlighted on today, God, we know it's all for your glory, God. So you get the glory, the honor, and the praise from this time that we are here today. Even heal some pastors today, some fivefold ministry gifts, God, knowing that we have not arrived and we still need help. So help us, Lord. Help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and praise God.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Shay, go ahead. I know you can.
Where should we begin? I think this is just such a wonderful opportunity, first of all, as a new author, but as you said, in the ministry for quite some number of years now, and just understanding that healing has to be multidimensional and that the church must embrace the other healing resources that God has placed in the earth, in the body of Christ. There's just so many hurting people. And they're looking for answers. And for some reason, we have not highlighted the area of mental health and wellness and helping people to understand how they work in concert together to make us whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a part of what, you know, this book is really, you know, it deals with so many different levels and so many different types of people. And it even has a little bit of my own personal recovery from, you know, some things that I've lived through and been able to conquer. We just really need to begin to examine ourselves to make sure we're not only fit, but that we're well. So
yes.
I think we're talking to lay people, we're talking to pastors, we're talking to Christians and non-Christians, because I wrote this in a way that I hope people who are not necessarily churched will find an opening to say, this is the missing piece, this is what I needed.
Yes. Yes. Well, let's start with the book because that is definitely what is catching my attention and the attention of so many of the listeners. I've heard of soul ties. Uh-huh. I've heard the Soul Ties, but even looking at the title of your book was the first time that I've actually heard the term soul hold. The title of your book is, will you give us the full title of your book?
The title is Conquering Soul Holds, Restored to Greatness.
My God. Now tell us a little bit about what a soul hold is. Dr. Shea, exactly what is a soul hold?
Well, I come at this from two different directions. Again, we have God-given soul holds, which are our eyes. And the things that we see and understand are perceived through the lenses of our other being. And for some reason, our perception can be changed or altered or not respond to the good things about ourselves. So our God-given set of soul holes are our eyes. But lo and behold, there are some other areas that because of trauma, disappointment, illness, whatever you can think of, there's been an open, empty area that isn't supposed to be there. And mm-hmm. we have learned how to move past it, shout over it, just pretend that it really doesn't matter, but it sets our life off on a course where we keep repeating maladaptive patterns of failure. And we sometimes ask ourselves, God, I'm saved and I know I'm serving you. Why do I continue to get into these ruts of behavior, bad relationships, just things maybe about myself? Why do I have this anger and this temper that I don't seem to be able to control? Why do I say some of the things I say that hurt the people that I love? It's because there's a corresponding empty spot where somebody else has inflicted damage in your life that has never been healed.
Wow.
But don't like to think about the fact that we can be serving in Christian ministry and still not be completely healed.
Wow. And that's just a very valid point. It's hard to believe that someone can get to be a pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher, preacher, and not be totally healed. But the truth of the matter is that there are many of us who are walking right there. We're serving the Lord with everything in us, that everything that we're capable of serving him with, but we're sick emotionally, spiritually, and we're shouting over that, and we're glossing over it. A lot of people will probably say, well, when you get saved and when you become renewed, when you become transformed by the renewing of your mind, when you get the Holy Spirit, I mean, isn't healing supposed to be taken care of automatically? Why is it that some people are still in the church and not healed, Dr. Shea?
Well, I think we have to understand, and I go into that somewhat in the book, talking about the dimensions of the healing. We are saved from sin, but not necessarily all of the effects that might have taken place in our lives from some of the sins that have been inflicted upon us by others or things that we've chosen to do when we were in our unregenerate state. So think about this, that if somebody gets saved at 35, they might have had a whole young adulthood of doing things that were self-destructive and detrimental. So God comes in and he saves the soul because the spirit man has to be regenerated. But then, as you said, when we have to go through the process of renewing our mind daily and applying the word and the biblical principles to our life, some of us just aren't as successful because we don't understand certain behaviors that we have to now alter or give up. And that's the problem. We expect God to do it all, and God does the spiritual piece completely. But then he leaves a portion to us, our will, our determination, our choices. You know, God did not create us to be robots, so he does not come in and say, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. He gives us his scripture. He gives us the anointed vessels of God, our pastors and our fivefold ministry gifts, and that's why it's so important that they be completely restored, because they will then minister out of their affliction and not understand that there are people that are receiving some of that information that message wasn't really clear. Or the information that I'm receiving, it sounds good, but I'm not able to live it every day. So am I a failure? And these are the conversations a lot of times that we don't have directly with our clergy or our fivefold ministry gifts. Or I'll tell you another scenario. We have people who will get up and they will confess their testimonies and say, you know, when I was in the world, I did this, and when I was in the world, I did that. But they don't talk about the struggles after they come out of the world and they begin to try to practice the Christian lifestyle. So we have all kinds of dynamics going on in the church house, and I talk about that in one chapter where I talk about the hole in the hedge. That the hedge is supposed to be that protective body around us as well. And we have a lot of people in there that are just not able to give the protection that they're supposed to give. But there was one other point you mentioned in it, and it just came to my mind that, you know, a lot of times we are in church with unhealthy people, and then we begin to measure ourselves by them. But what they're actually doing is they're showing us their outer self, but they never let us into the inner part of their life so that we can really see what does it take to be a successful Christian. We quote scripture, we go to all the church meetings, and we come home, and some women are in battered women situations. Some are still loving Christ, but they are hooked on fornication, and some of them are doing drugs and alcohol. Women are one of the highest represented population groups of closet alcoholics. And a lot of them are sitting right in the church house. So it's important that we, the healers, have our act together. And we must understand that we're drawn to helping people because sometimes there's something in us that we have overcome and we want to help people. But in order to really help them, we have to be restored ourselves.
Wow. Wow, so it's basically, and is that why you have a lot of pastors falling? You know, if you look on the news, on the internet, you see a lot of pastors who are publicly are falling from grace. Would that be attributed to a soul hole?
I think it's attributed to a couple of things. One of them, yes, being a soul hole. I think, first of all, we put tremendous pressure and expectations on our pastors. And they try to live up to that, because they feel if they are called of God that they should be able to meet the needs of the people. But, you know, you can feed people and they not digest the food properly. A lot of them are falling because they have compassion fatigue. And a lot of them are falling because their personal lives have suffered because they've given so much of themselves away. They haven't saved anything for themselves and their families at home.
Wow.
I mean, temptation is common. Just because you're a pastor or a fivefold ministry gift, it does not mean you'll never be tempted again. The enemy still has your phone number, your IP address. He knows exactly how to tap into where he hit you before. So your title doesn't protect you from temptation. And so being grounded and being whole, there are many components to that. And we have to look at our choices. When God called us, what was it that we were willing at that point to turn away from and abandon? Because that's the very thing he's going to bring back to you. If you like to party, he's going to show you a place where you get very close to the edge, and you, oh, there's no harm in that. You know, I can hold my own, and maybe for a while you can. But when you're in environments where spirits do transfer, ultimately you have to be prayed up, as they say, and have to be completely consciously aware that this is a weakness in my life. And I don't know if high full ministry gets people want to admit there's a weakness that I have to continue to have grace cover for me. So it's not that I'm not healed or whole, but we take that one experience and we want to apply it to the entire lifetime of our ministry, our families, et cetera. Now, I recently ministered a word at one of our church conventions, and I called it redigging the well, because when enemies come along, they like to pour soot and dirt and trash and all the things that they can do to hinder us. They like to put it down in our well. Abraham's wells were filled up by his enemies. But we have to know how to go back and redig the well so that the oil is flowing, so that we can get fresh oil and we can continue to minister out to God's people. So I think there's so much to this, and that's why I don't take credit for all of the content. I believe the Holy Spirit really wanted me to get a message out to people that you're not a superhero because you're a pastor, or that you are a fivefold ministry gift, or even if you are a lay member who's actively engaged in ministry from day to day. You need to be filled, and you need to be well. And so if you've got issues with your mother and you feel as though, well, you know, I don't talk to my mom, I'm respectful, once a year I send her a Mother's Day card, you can believe that whatever that issue is that has you disconnected, it's going to come back. So let's say mom gets sick, or let's say that mom passes away. The issues that you haven't dealt with can create a soul hole even at that moment, because all of the memories and all of the pain that's unresolved will come rushing back in a way that can be overwhelming. So avoidance is not the way to deal with a soul hole. Mm-hmm. Inside the text, I talk about the strategies, and I call it the eyesight intervention, and there are four strategies that I tell people if they use them consistently on a daily or a weekly basis, depending on their soul hole state, that they can be consciously aware that they are applying God's grace to their life in a very purposeful way. You know, sometimes we pray general prayers, and we just, yes, you know, we just move forward with that. But sometimes we have to be specific in our request to God. God, help me to cover this hole of rejection, this hole of abandonment. It's been there all my life, this hole of insecurity. And I may be covering it now with fancy clothes, and because I've got the mic, I feel large and in charge. But when I go home and when I take off my robe, guess what? Those same things still come back to try to haunt me. So I need to consistently make sure I'm aware the enemy never sleeps. He's always going to be after me. And if I want to be effective to other people, I've got to be able to say, you know, I have wrestled with that. And let me tell you how I've overcome it. That's why the Bible says we overcome by the word of our testimony.
Yeah.
So, I'm just rambling on because I'm so excited.
No, please. Oh, yeah. I mean, there is an anointing right here, and I'm being blessed, so I know that my listeners are being blessed. Go ahead, please. Do share.
Well, just in continuing, you know, there's a portion in the book where I have a soul inventory. And the soul inventory helps us to identify what is my usual and consistent state of mind. You know, am I a person that is dealing with bitterness, but I don't acknowledge that, so I just pretend that everything is okay? Or am I dealing with a state of loneliness? You know, it doesn't have to be something that the world might perceive as negative, but it's still there hindering you from being your originally designed great person that God wanted you to be. So the greatness restored, I don't know anyone who's gotten through childhood or teenage years or even young adulthood without having tripped over something or having had an experience that left you bug-eyed, if I can say that, to say, oh, my God, what just happened to me? Mm-hmm. And if we don't recognize those experiences, even as children, we will not assume that they're having any relevance in our life today at all, but they absolutely do. From the people and the friends we pick, to the partners that we marry, to the congregations we join, to the jobs that we're attracted to, we just recreate the atmosphere that's familiar. And sometimes familiarity is not the greatest thing, because if we came out of situations where we were the underdog, we may overcompensate now by trying to be the upper dog. Do you see what I'm saying? So
yes,
in other words, it could be anything that has come into your life that has definitely knocked you off track, even if it's for a short season, that you need to be mindful and aware of. Now, I do want to say something about this. In the beginning of the book, I talk about the differences in healing, and I talk about the charismatic spiritual experience and deliverance, because I absolutely do believe in deliverance ministry. But I also know that in the body of Christ today, there are not as many as there used to be deliverance type of experiences that the saints are having, and I don't know why. The Holy Ghost hasn't changed, and we know where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound.
Yes.
But I grew up in an era where I listened to the stories of my mother and my grandmother who were talking about alcoholics coming out of their stupor right there in the church house and being saved and delivered and tumors dropping off and legs growing out. Well, we don't see a lot of that today. And as the Holy Spirit moves and changes in the way he manifests himself, we have to be also open to new practices that he is a part of and that he is anointing, but it just may not look the same way it used to look.
Yes.
So I talk about a therapeutic relationship with a clinician, a counselor. I talk about pastoral care and the church outreach. I talk about life coaching. And I talk about that deliverance experience because I'm trying to find people on the continuum from A to Z, no matter where you are. If you're still experiencing the effects of a soul hole, there is help for you and there is hope for you. So I think that it has a wide appeal because what I'm really trying to say to listeners is whether you've never been in church or whether you've been in church all your life, these things do show up, and I want you to be equipped to know how to fight the devil.
Amen. And I was reading the preface, the beginning of the book on that you had sent to me, and it involved everything, included everything that you just talked about, and it also talked about the elements of, you know, church, the pastoral care, life coaching, as well as the deliverance ministry, which I do agree with. There's not a lot of deliverance ministry taking place. Now, even more so, I think that's a reason that we need what you're offering us today. We need to read your book, and we need to put into effect the suggestions, the strategies that you are outlining for us, because there are too many people in the church that are crippled with a spirit of infirmity, and we're getting a lot of good teaching in our churches, and you can turn on the radio, the computer, the TV, or go to church, and you can hear ministry 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we're getting a lot of the Word of God into our ear gates, but I don't know. I don't know, Dr. Shea, what's missing. Is it that general, is it the specialist appeal of deliverance, one thing that you talked about, or is it the anointing, or is it that that some of our teachers and preachers are hurting themselves, therefore they're not anointed in that area to help other people? Or is it a combination of all of that and more? I'm kind of like, you know, this is one thing that really, really is a prayer concern for me, because I'm one of those people who want to see everybody healed, and that could be as a result of a soul hole that I had when I was a child. I was molested as a child. My father was an alcoholic. He beat my mother. My father abandoned us, you know, and for many, many years, up until a year before he passed away, a couple of years ago, I didn't have a relationship with my dad. So I know I had very low self-esteem. I had no self-esteem. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, so I know now that that was a soul hole that I was trying to fill myself. And when I got saved, Dr. Shea, you're right, when Anthony and I sat before you and we counseled 15 years ago before we got married, you know, we knew all the right words and we were on the path to healing, but by no ways were we healed, and we were able to fool ourselves and, you know, just make it to the altar and get married and then realize that we did have some issues that needed to be dealt with. So, my God, this is so powerful, because I know that quite a few people are listening now and they're saying, well, I have soul holes. And we talked about the well and redigging the wells. How exactly do we redig the wells? How do I get, I know I'm asking you a lot, but how do we get healed? You know, how do we get set free? Why isn't the church by itself effective? And then where do I go to get counseling if I need more help? And why is there such a stigma? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there because I know you have something for us.
Well, I want to answer each of those questions, and you really are on a roll because you're hitting all the key points. First of all, let me go back to the failure's not in God, it's in us. God hasn't changed. We've changed. And today's church must examine itself. Have we become too social, too political? Are we not doing some of the things? Because we know that in the early days of the church, in the Pentecostal movement especially, there was a stigma just being associated with it. But I tell you, those folks had power. And when they prayed for you, it all came off at the same time. But then there was also a kind of guiding and a mentoring that took place with the mothers of the church and even with the elders of the church, where not only did they keep watch over your soul, but they gave you sound, solid wisdom and advice. They just had discernment in their eyes, and they were able to see some of the struggles coming your way. And then we, as Christians and new believers, we listen to them. And I think some of that is missing today. In an attempt to not be too stiff and staunchy, and in an attempt to not want to be labeled like the old church, we've tried to appeal to new generations and even those people who've never been churched before. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I belong to a very powerful, innovative ministry, Bethlehem Judah Christian Fellowship. We have some of the most dynamic preaching in the country, and we have people who are dedicated to God. But we also are drawing from the crowds of populations of people who have been hurt in church, who have been disappointed by church leaders, who don't have the confidence in the faith to really let their guard down and let God do a work in them. So they try to navigate and monitor. I'm going to pick that and take that, but I'm going to leave that. I agree with what you said here, but I'm not going to listen to that over there. And so we've become consumers rather than sheep that are being fed. And when you're a consumer, you pick and choose what you want and you leave the rest behind. So I think that we now are at a turning point where the church has to say, you know, we've gotten them in the church, but now that they're there, what are we going to do with them? And it grieves my heart so heavily sometimes when I sit in different congregations and I hear pastors making negative statements about counseling. I mean, some of the stigma, unfortunately, comes out of the pulpit, where pastors will say, you don't need counseling, you just need God. And that is misinterpreted by people to say, oh, I guess counseling is not of God. You don't know how many people I've had come to my office that have said, I don't want my pastor to know I'm here, or is it Christian to need counseling? And I do believe that it wouldn't be in the Bible if it wasn't Christian, but we have to make sure the counselor that is connecting with us spiritually, soul to soul, because that's how real therapy and clinical work happens. You have to connect with that therapist. They should be saved. They should be filled with the Holy Ghost. They should be called to that ministry and graced to deal with certain populations of people so that they are allowing themselves to be a conduit through which God is still ministering through the Holy Spirit, but he's just not doing it in a pulpit in a church. It's your personal one-on-one time where you have a Christian mentor, counselor, a trained person who can say, let me just reflect back to you what you said. Is this really what you believe? And sometimes when people talk out loud, they're amazed at the things they say. They're like, I can't believe I just said that, because it was in there. But you see, the ministry in church is meant to be where you come for feeding and spiritual strength and where you give God glory. It's really not a two-way conversation. So you're there and you absorb and you take in and you leave. Now, if you have an active ministry, there are places within that ministry that you should be able to come and share: the married ministry, the singles ministry, the women's ministry, elders and ministers class. This is where you can get to that level of one-on-one discussion. But some people will not reveal what's really in their heart and mind in front of others. They need that personal venue with someone who they can let their guard down and really be themselves. So I think as people change, our ministries have to broaden and have to change. You made a statement earlier I wanted to go back to as well. You know, I was I'm a survivor of sexual assault, and I think that it's interesting that people don't think the trauma is as significant unless you've actually been sexually abused in the way where there's been sexual intercourse or penetration. That couldn't be anything further from the truth. I was so traumatized when I was young by men in the neighborhood and even an uncle who decided that it would be cute for him to expose himself to me. I don't know why some people don't have the same reaction, but for me, that trauma moment has greatly shadowed a lot of my early choice decisions around men, around marriage, because it was just an uncertainty about the level of safety and the level of trust. And the sad thing is that after that experience, he asked me to keep the secret, which absolutely flips the paradigm for now I'm your caretaker. I'm a 4 or 5-year-old child, but now I have to take care of you in your adult world because you want me to hold the secret of what you've just done that is totally inappropriate. So how does a 4 or 5-year-old process that information? You start to feel over-responsible. You start to put your needs second and everybody else's need first, because after all, I must be powerful enough that I can keep this secret and keep this person out of jail. And then you just begin to have a curious sense of curiosity around, well, is this normal or are these feelings normal? So when a person has their, when they're not allowed to develop their own ideas about what sexuality means for them, when you have someone who's barging into your world with their adult madness, it shifts the entire culture of your learning so that you're quite now confused. You're really confused. And there are scores and scores of women sitting in our churches and men, and I don't want to leave the brothers out because it happens in the church house all the time, that are completely unsure of how to relate. So if you're not relating to the people that are supposed to be helping you, you obviously are at a disadvantage than the person who doesn't have that blockage or that hole, because they're able to receive in a different kind of way. There's so many issues. And one of them that I do want to just mention today, I mentioned it briefly in the book as well, is the fact that we have, unfortunately, some pastors who have abused the trust of parishioners in the same way. I've sat with several women over the years who pastors took advantage of them sexually, and they've left the church completely. You know, it was a matter of trying to get them to understand that pastors are human. They are graced by God to feed the flock. They are anointed by him to war in the spirit and to carry, you know, the burdens. But they are human, and that they, too, can err, just like everyone else. So there's so many areas and dynamics, even in the church house, where you can get hurt in church and people leave the church. So I could go on and on and on for days, but it's such a deep area. I think I already see another book coming out because I'm just on these topics. But to go into details, you know, would be like a day's workshop or seminar or, you know, just an area of study for many, many people. But I do know that across America, and this is not just the black church, people have just given up on church. They're not attending like they used to. Church membership is down across the country. And we need to take a look at, are we really being the body that God established in the earth? Are we really showing our kingdom greatness, or are we all just wounded and the blind, sometimes leading the blind into a ditch? And I know that's not going to be popular, but I think somebody has to speak on it because we have to let people know God is real, his love and his mercy are everlasting. He will never leave you or forsake you. He loves you the same as he did yesterday and forevermore. Yeah. If you run into a bad situation, it's not God. And even if a person stumbles and errs, like many have, as you said, on public television, we need to pray for them. We don't need to be like the world and condemn them. We don't need to do the same thing the world would do because we're supposed to be brothers and sisters and believers. At the same time, it may be that my season is up, though, that you're not in a position where you may lead. So now if there's not an overseeing bishop or organization, what do members do when their pastors fall and err? It's very earth-shattering because we like to think that they don't suffer in the flesh or in their emotions the same as we do, but they do. So, you know, there's a lot to be said here.
Yes, I need more time. Yeah, you know, we do have some callers on the board. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, but I want to open up the switchboard because I'm sure that there are some people that would love to speak with you. I'm as you were speaking, you know, I just was clicking in my spirit. Pastors, I believe, you know, I mean, it's, we had to, at the old church, when I was at the cathedral, we had to, and I thank God for this, we had to go through counseling before we got married. And also, we had to go through counseling before we began to minister. It was called to wholeness. When you had the call in your life, you had to go through counseling sessions. And again, that Dr. Reed, I mean, she was phenomenal with us. I believe in the same way that we as pastors, we as lay ministers, we as the fivefold ministry gifts, we should on a regular basis go through counseling sessions. You know, this is just my belief that we need to have some place where we could go to talk to somebody about the things that we're experiencing. Because we can't. Who else can we talk to? Who else can we talk to, you know, unless you have a great fellowship, you know, with a group of people that you can be accountable to. But I find that preachers spend a lot of time trying to impress each other.
Well, I
so, who can we talk to?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the cathedral, because I've also acknowledged their work with me as being a good model of when pastors know how to refer and when they use clinical services appropriately. You mentioned Reverend Denise Reed and Bishop Hilliard, who for years now have been referring not only their premarital, pre-clergy assessments, a number of things that you just mentioned. That's the actual model that has prompted me to continue to say to churches everywhere, we should do this on a regular basis. The cathedral has been awesome in that area. And I think that they are a role model in terms of how pastors should be healthy and people considering ministry should be counseled and checked out about their motives, as well as this being the right season in their life. It doesn't mean God hasn't called you, but it may not be the season for you to launch out. So they are an excellent example, and I'm glad you helped me to remember that.
Yes, amen. So where do we, let's talk, I want to just let the people who are just tuning in know, I am speaking right now, highlighting our featured guest on today, Dr. Clarencia Shade. Dr. Clarencia Shade, who is a licensed clinical social worker, and she also has an LSW. What does the LSW stand for? Licensed social worker?
Licensed clinical, LCSW.
LCSW. And she is the author of Conquering Soul Holds, Restored to Greatness. And let's talk a little bit about your subtitle, Restored to Greatness. Why that subtitle?
Well, I think that, you know, I talk about the man, the blind man at Bethsaida, and I really look at the fact that this man was restored. And in without telling all of the goodies of the book, there's just a place that we meet God where he illuminates everything about us, and we are able to get back to our kingdom greatness, functioning at our full capacity, fulfilling the destiny calling on our lives. You know, there's just a moment when you know all systems are go, you feel the anointing, the doors are opening, people are receptive, favor is on your life. There's just that sequence in time when you say, I know God is with me and I need to move now. And whether that is in your finances or whether that is in your relationship, whatever dimension or whatever dominion that's in, the restoration to greatness is the pre-Adam and Eve days when we were ruling our spirits, we were in dominion, we were in our kingdom greatness. We had received our instructions from God, and we were given the command to be fruitful and to multiply. And that's where we want to be when we're restored. We want to be fruitful, and we want to be able to multiply. And so to me, being restored to greatness is that pre-abuse, pre-trauma, pre-incident state that when you were first thought of in the mind of God, when before you were conceived in your mother's womb, that's the restoration we want to get back to the place where we are pure and holy before God, but also are clear and empowered to move forward with what he has given us to do. Because I know we've been saying it a long time since I was a kid, but time is winding up. And those of us that have things to do, we need to get them done. My pastor has a saying where he says, I'm not taking this to the grave. Well, that's the restoration piece where you want to thrust forward and say, guess what? The gifts and the callings of God that he's placed in me, the assignment, the seed that I have, I got to move because I've been going. So it's that place where you're ready to go, and God is with you, and you're just moving. You're moving forward, doing the things that you know God ordained for you to do. So restoration is a beautiful place, and, you know, I think about how much time sometimes not just guys, but mostly men, are really into restoring antique cars and the time that it takes to get the finishing right, and every detail is important. That's what I think of when I think about being restored, that every detail, every inch of us has been brought into that kingdom greatness where God can really manifest himself and use us.
Yes, and we talked about soul holes. Do soul holes lead to soul ties, or is that something totally different?
Well, you know, I've never thought of it until you mentioned it today. I also know about soul ties. Soul ties to me is about a individual, maybe a person that is no longer in your life, but you're still tied to them in memory, also emotionally, that person could be in the grave. But I think the soul tie, when it hasn't been resolved, can lead to a soul hole. Or maybe the hole was there first. It's that chicken or the egg conversation. Not sure which came first, but they definitely can interrelate, because breaking the soul tie means that you're free from that bondage and that spirit, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're completely healed yourself.
Wow. And that soul tie, if it could also be what leads me to be in a relationship, a sexual relationship that I know I shouldn't be in, because I'm not married to this person, but I can't help but keep having sex with this person. There's just something that keeps drawing me to this person, although I know God says no fornication. Is that a soul tie, or is that a soul hole, or is it both?
I think it's both. The hole comes from your needing something to cover that empty place in you, and you might have chosen sex. So when you choose sex, and you engage, I always say, I told my son and my daughter when they were growing up, sex is a controlled, dangerous substance. You can't use it without a license, a marriage license. You need to be married because it's powerful. And if you get involved with somebody without that covenant, without that license, it exposes things that shouldn't be exposed, in a way that's not covered. So sex in and of itself, when you have a soul tie to a particular person, I believe you're now bringing into focus that demonic, hindering kinds of spirit or spirits of bondage, where sex is meant to be something in the covenant of marriage. And so without that, whenever you expose something outside of God's will, you are opening yourself to all kinds of influences and things that should not be taking place. But I think the whole, the neediness, the longing, the loneliness, the sense of rejection, the sense of isolation, I think that's what drives you to look for something to fill the hole. And when you fill it with sexual activity outside of marriage, you've just tied yourself to something now that is always going to be there unless you're delivered by the grace of God.
Mm.
So you have men and women who have married after three or four partners, but they're still soul tied to somebody who's moved on with their life.
Yeah.
Because connection has never been broken.
My God.
Really think about that, though, how the whole and the soul tie work against you together.
My God, that's another book. You're good. I do see more books, because as I'm talking to you, I'm being ministered to, because I think about all of the things that had me in bondage: sex, alcohol, drugs, people pleasing, you know, men wanting to be accepted. All of those were soul ties for me, trying to fill that soul hole, because they were pleasurable. Because, you know, we know sin is pleasurable. They felt good. Made me feel good at the time. They helped me not to feel so bad. So, you know, here in my soul hole, I was feeling bad, and these other things were making me feel good. So, my God, what a mess, you know. And then with that, but this is it. And then I'm gonna have you do some final comments, and then we're going to take some calls. But this is it. Is that why there's such a stigma to counseling? Because when you have a soul hole, they say you have a hole, it's a God-shaped hole that only God can fill. When you come into the church and you get filled with the Spirit of the Lord, you're saved now. All of this stuff is supposed to miraculously go away. Now, you know, I'm not supposed to be having sex now. I'm not supposed to be wanting to drink or drug or please people or any of that stuff. No, now, so I feel bad because I still feel like I need some of these things, because the truth of the matter is I've been saved. This is just a scenario, but somebody might be saying, I've been saved for 7 years. Oh, well, that was a scenario, Dr. Shade. That was my life. Saved for 7 years and still going off on my husband. Still not happy. Still wanting, he comes in the house, Amy would come in happy, and I would be like looking for a way to make him miserable. You know, but then the stigma going back to the church and having to put a smile on my face, because people expect us to be smiling in church. Come on, help us out, Dr. Clarity. And we need help with this area, because there's too much of that going on in the church.
Well, I think you hit on a really, really keen point here, because this is where the counselor and the therapist, the therapist and the pastor should be working in concert. They should not be two fragmented, isolated relationships if you can convince the person who needs the care to agree to do that. Because I do believe that pastors are given an extra keen sense of discernment around the sheep that they are supposed to be covering. And so, you know, when situations are on their way or looming up, I think your pastor is able to discern that. But where your therapist comes in is to be able to help you practice the daily skills and new behaviors and to sit with you while you are practicing them to make sure you understand that you too can do this one day without my help. So say, for instance, we don't understand temptation and how the devil works on us. You can get a healing in church, and the Bible talks about when the sower sows the word. And you talk it sown among the thorns, the birds come and get it. It's not that you haven't received it. We just don't know how to hold on and maintain it. So once we leave the church house where the atmosphere is high and where, you know, everything is just everything, we come home to our individual dwelling places, and the enemy begins to talk to us, tempt us. He begins to have certain scenarios come upon us that we don't know how to resist. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we're thinking, oh, there's that same pain. I guess I really wasn't healed. Yes, you were. And this is how you claim your kingdom greatness. You stand on the word of God. So when it comes to temptation time and you really want somebody to be there for you because you're feeling lonely, what you really have to do is say to yourself, but I will do what the Bible says, and I will trust the Lord with all of my heart. You have to fight the devil with word. And so a lot of times we don't fight him, and we just assume that what happened for us in church wasn't real. And so we open the door to that thing we've been delivered from without understanding. I may be feeling this pressure. I may be in the heat right now, but I know that God is going to give me power and strength to overcome this. So we forgive because we feel the moment of temptation or the fear. We fear the thing that's coming back on us again. And without any evidence, we open the door and let it right back in. So sometimes we don't understand that we've been delivered and how we must hold on to our deliverance and our healing, but it begins and it ends with us. We are the gatekeepers. We are to guard our hearts with all diligence. We are to do that. The pastor can't do that from the pulpit. We have to do that. And if I need Christian fellowship or a godly mentor or a mother in the church or an elder, someone to counsel with, I need to be able to feel free enough to pick up that phone and say, I'm in a struggle. Now, here's where the referral piece comes in. If pastors are counseling people more than short term, they've actually begun therapy. And that's why I'm saying pastors should know when and how to refer out to someone that they have had a relationship with themselves, who they know is trustworthy, so that they can say, I'm turning my sheep over to you to assist me in their care. So it's not like we have to fight over who's going to have the person, I'm going to have them, you're going to have them.
Right.
We're working together so that when those soul whole moments hit, the devil will make that thing manifest itself again. We have to know how and who to call, and we have to be with someone who has strength and integrity who can help walk us through those moments. The devil will leave you alone, even if it's only for a season. And that's what people who are struggling need to understand. If you haven't come to your season where the enemy has left you alone, you need some power, you need some prayer, and you need a Christian therapist and a pastoral counselor in your life working together to help you overcome these things.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We do need help, you know, and it's good to hear that it's okay to get counseling, because everything can't be done sitting on the pew in the church. We do need help. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to Women to Women, those who are listening live, those who are listening via stream and the archives. And I'm talking with Dr. Clarencia Shade, who is a licensed clinical social worker. She has been a blessing in my life. She is the author of Conquering Soul Holes, Restored to Greatness. And this is a powerful book. We've just been going over some of the contents of the book. Dr. Shade is an anointed vessel. She's also a preacher, an evangelist, and the Lord has used her to speak on many topics, including marriage, because she actually had the opportunity of having her speaking to my marriage at retreats as well as in personal counseling. This woman of God has written a powerful book, and we want to make sure that you know how to get a copy of her book. Dr. Clara, give us your website. Let people know where they can reach you, where they can get a copy of your book, and any other information where we can find you. I know you're on Facebook, so that we can find you. And while she's doing that, listeners, you can call in now. I believe Dr. Shade will stay with us for a few more minutes to answer some of your questions. I see a couple people on the board, a few people listening in that have been listening since we started, and you get an opportunity to talk to Dr. Shade. This is your opportunity to talk to her. So call in. This is your opportunity to talk to a counselor who has a license. So call in 646-652-4832. Only if you're listening live. Saturday afternoon is about 2 o'clock p.m. on the 21st of August. You cannot call if you're listening to the archives, because that's the archives. But if you're listening live, call in now. This is your opportunity, 646-652-4832. Dr. Shade, give us some information on how we can reach you. Give us some information about your church, how we can reach you, how we can get your book. Anything that you have coming up?
Okay, all right. Well, just constructed a brand new website. You can go to www.clarenciashade.com. That's pretty easy to remember if you can remember my name. But if not, I also have another website that is www.giftsofhealing.net. And on either one of those websites, you're able to purchase a book. And as you stated, I can also be found serving in the ministry where I'm a member, which is the Bethlehem Judah Christian Fellowship, located on Gallatin Hill Road in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And just finished a series of things. Going to be sponsoring a few things in the future, but if you are on my website, you certainly can email me. You can see the events as they're listed. There will be some upcoming book signing venues going on. And we look forward to communicating with you. You join our mailing list. You're also able to go in and view our newsletter. So we just want to connect with you. We want you to get the word out. Maybe it's not for you, but someone that you know that you dearly love and want to see them completely restored, please just go ahead and give them the email address. The phone number is also listed at the email address. And that number is 877-734-0314. That's 877-734-0314. So the name of my practice is Gift of Healing, and it has been for quite some time. I am actively engaged in counseling with folks in the North Jersey area. If you feel like you'd like to make an appointment, you could always reach me either by website or phone, and we can talk about what your needs are. So I thank you so much, Pastor Rebecca, for this opportunity just to get the word out to people that I haven't been able to communicate with prior to now. And I know the Lord is going to bless you because you've been doing this a while and ministering to the hearts of people. So I thank God for you.
Thank you. Praise God. To God be the glory. We're on a mission together, you know, where we have to help as many women and men as we can, because the truth is that there are a lot of people in the church who are hurting. And we come week after week. People come week after week, and they get victory. They get healing. But then, like you said, the devil comes in again and begins to taunt them and begins to vex some people with that evil spirit or with evil spirits. And because deliverance ministry is not what it used to be, it's still what it used to be, but it's not as prevalent as it used to be. A lot of people are, you know, pretty much getting away from it. It's hard. It's hard to find help. And because I was so messed up, my whole mission is to help women, to help other people who are hurting. And I have not arrived. I still have to fight the devil with the word of God. I have to fight just flesh. I have to fight old patterns of destructive behavior. And, you know, it's a daily fight, you know, to say, you know what, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, you know, and to keep myself filled up with that word. So, and you helped me, Dr. Shay, you helped me on my journey. I was so impressed with meeting you. I had never met a counselor, you know, never been to a counseling session before. And I was just like, wow, this woman is something else. You know, she's awesome. You know, she's doing her thing. She's helping people. And, you know, God is using her outside of the church. So it's just a blessing to know you and that you were able to take some time out of your schedule and that we can promote this book. I'm going to continue to promote the book. Is the book available now?
Yes, it is.
Great, great. So I've got to get my copy, and I encourage everybody who's listening to go over to ClarenciaShade.com, that's ClarenciaShade.com, and also if you can't get in there, you can get in there, but if you don't, you need another way to get in to her website, go to giftsofhealing.net. So go to both of her websites and sign up on the mailing list so that you can keep in touch with this great woman of God. Well, it's come to the time when we will be taking a couple of calls. I'm going to take a couple of calls also to encourage people to call in. And if Dr. Shay will stay with us to the duration, we have another 24 minutes. You will have a chance to get your questions answered. 646-652-4832. But right now we have two people who are on the switchboard. We had three. One dropped off. But let's take these calls. Area code 312, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Area code 312, are you there? Okay, she must have had to step away. Area code 312. Okay, I'll come back to her. Amen, hallelujah. Area code 8. I pray my switchboard is still, I know the switchboard is working. Area code 856, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Amen, Pastor. This is Evangelist Fenny.
Evangelist Fenny, God bless you, woman of God. How are you today?
Very well.
Good. It was Go ahead.
I just thank and praise the Lord for the word of God. Everything was a teaching, a healing. It just blessed my soul, and I just thank and praise the Lord for this woman of God because it helped me in so many ways. Just sitting and listening in, I just got so much, and I have so much to talk about. I want to get the book, you know, to encourage myself.
Amen. And it was meant for you to be here today. I didn't know that was you. I didn't recognize your phone number on the switchboard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I personally know that you're going through some things in your own personal life, and I'm just so glad that you had the opportunity to listen to Dr. Shay and perhaps to even connect with her going forward. Do you have any questions for Dr. Shay?
I don't have questions, but I just thank God I got answers through hearing her. You know, it answered a lot of things that I was wrestling with that she just made clearer for me. And I just thank and praise the Lord because I'm in that area in a lot of ways, but God is bringing me out, you know, through prayer and deliverance and everything. That's why I said all of it is, you know, really touching me right now and because it's really helping me. And I thank God for it. I'm speechless, really. I can't even speak the way I want to because more so I got it for my spirit and my spiritual ear grasped it more than, you know, the physical. And I thank God for that.
Amen. Praise God. Well, make sure if you have other questions, you can certainly reach out to me. But
just your testimony encourages me as well to let me know that God did assign me this work and that it is going to bless the hearts of many. So I thank and praise God for your openness and your honesty today as well. Thank you for sharing it.
A great release, and I thank God for you too.
Thank God. Amen.
Amen. And Evangelist Finney, you know, what we were talking about earlier and is you know, those soul holes. And you know, I know your story, and you know my story, you know our ministry. Dr. Shade, Evangelist Finney is a member. She's part of our church family over at New Creation Christian Ministries, where I pastor with my wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, over in Elizabeth, on the other side of Elizabeth from where you and your fellowship are. But we do deliverance ministry. You know, we believe in deliverance ministry. You know, we try to identify a need through the Spirit and minister to that need through the preaching and through the prayer. Sometimes, you know, but sometimes that hour and a half that we have on Sunday morning just doesn't seem to be enough. And Evangelist Finney, as we were saying earlier, you know, I do have an opportunity to minister to our evangelist on a regular basis, and she is in the ministry. And as we were saying earlier, you know, sometimes it is good, okay, you know, say, you know what, thank you, Dr. Shade, because you just helped me to remember. Sometimes it is good to say, okay, I need some help. You know, I need to bring in even an expert in the mental psychological realm. You know, somebody who's been schooled, somebody who's trained to deal with certain things, because I deal with a lot of things in the spiritual realm and by my testimony and the blood of the Lamb, you know, and the word of God. But it is good to have somebody that you can sit down and talk to that will give you sound advice, and also psychological as well as biblical advice, because you said the counselor should be a Christian, you know. Yes. So Evangelist Finney, I'm just so glad that you're here to even hear, and all the other listeners out there. I think a lot of people are being relieved to hear that it's okay to go to counseling. You know, it's okay. God can do it all. He doesn't fail, but we can't do it all. You know, sometimes we fall short, you know, and we have our struggles, especially when we're married, you know, in the area of marriage. We have our struggles, and it's hard not to revert back to old behavior.
Yes. Well, it's many members with one body, and I think the advantage of having a Christian counselor, not that you could not get reputable service from people who are licensed, but, you know, sometimes there is an information gap. If you sit in front of a person that doesn't understand the kinds of mysteries of God, and you begin to talk about, well, God spoke to me and God told me, they're going to think you're psychotic, and they're automatically going to start thinking that you're manifesting some symptom that they need to treat. But if they were a Christian, they would understand the voice of God, and they would understand that God speaks to us in various ways. And sometimes it is a voice inside of our spirit that we hear. Sometimes it's through a song. But if you haven't had that Christian experience, it sounds odd to you. And so I just know that there have been some people who have gone to secular counseling, and they've not always had, you know, a good experience.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Amen. Evangelist Finney, did you have any other comments or questions?
No, just listening.
Amen. Well, woman of God, I'm so glad that you tuned in. And we want to take another call. Just stay with us. I'm going to keep you on the air just in case you have anything additional as we go forward. Area code 862, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Hi. How are you?
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. You're on the air. Did you have any questions or comments for Dr. Shade?
No, actually, I just tuned in.
Okay.
So I didn't hear everything that, you know, was spoken on.
Amen. Okay. Well, we are talking about, we are, our guest today is Dr. Clara Shade, and she is a licensed clinical social worker. She's also the author of Conquering Soulhood, Restored to Greatness. And she was sharing with us on today about soul holds, you know, the fact that we have these holes in our soul that have been created by some traumatic experience or some traumatic experiences in our lives that we have encountered but not recovered from. And her book focuses on soul holds, conquering those soul holds, and being restored to the greatness that God created us for. It's been a powerful segment. I recommend that you do go back and listen to the archives because you will surely be blessed. Do you have any experiences in your own life that would create, that you would say have created a soul hole, or do you have any, just from hearing that, is there anything that springs up in your spirit that you would want to ask our guests?
Not necessarily, because, you know, I've always been aware of myself, you know, being a Christian, being saved, and knowing the Lord that I do, as much as knowing myself, because my motto is nobody knows you like you do.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
that is my motto. So, knowing me, knowing my own holes, because I'm, you know, nobody is totally, you're delivered, but to me, you're not totally there until God just does what he has to do, or he just comes, it's time for him to come back and take you home. You understand what I'm saying?
So you're basically saying that there are some things that we can deal with in life that we'll never be delivered from until God decides to deliver us or when he calls us home.
Honestly, that's the way I think about it, because, I mean, right now I have an issue that I'm dealing with, you know what I'm saying? And I know that I need deliverance from my issue, okay? But I can do everything that I can do to try to rid myself of it, to ask God to deliver me from it. But it's not until he's ready to deliver me that I know that I'll be totally delivered.
Okay, I understand that. I'm going to ask Dr. Shade to address that. Do you have anything to say about that, Dr.
Yes.
Shade?
I think God is always ready. I think that we're the ones that have to manifest our willingness to receive what he has for us. And I think that, you know, it's not that God wants us to hang out there and to be miserable or to suffer, but I think he definitely wants to get us to a point where we're yielded. And deliverance takes time. It takes stages.
Mm-hmm.
There are instantaneous miracles, and then there's healings that happen along the way as you go. So I think that once you come to that point of awareness that I need to be delivered in this area, then that turns the whole dial toward God saying, okay, let's get started. And once he begins to deal with us, there's lots of ways that he'll deal with us. Sometimes he'll separate us from people that we don't realize are keeping us in a bad state. Sometimes he'll let things fall out from underneath us as supports because he wants to build our faith. It's like God is the architect of our deliverance. He really is the one who knows how to bring it to pass. But we also have to play our part in our role. And what
mm-hmm.
you just said is actually the beginning. The beginning is saying, I need to do this, and I want your help, God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, caller 862, what is your name?
My name is Leslie.
Leslie. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate you calling in and then being a part of the broadcast today.
Oh, thank you very much. This is my first time listening, so it's interesting.
Amen. Well, stay tuned. We only have about 10 more minutes of the broadcast, but I want to invite you to come back. Every week I highlight a different woman of God, and we have some very interesting topics. And I believe that God is ready to take you somewhere else. I believe that God does have deliverance lined up for you. You know, I believe that there are perhaps some issues that are pending in your life, but as a result of even being in the midst of us on today, that the Lord is just speaking to your heart to let you know that he's ready to take you higher in mm-hmm. him, and that you don't have to deal with some of the things that have been hindering you from moving forward to do what God has called you to do. God wants to restore you to greatness. He does. And there's certain mm-hmm. things you don't have to carry. Like Dr. Shay said, it's not God's will that we carry certain things. So I just appreciate you being with us on today, and I just pray that we will be able to continue this fellowship going forward.
Oh, God bless you. And I will be tuning in, you know, now that I know that, you know, that this show is going on, I will be listening a lot much more. I don't know why I'm nervous and I'm on the phone.
Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, that's God, baby. I tell you, God, he's touching you because there's so much anointing. Our guests and all of us here, where it says, with two or more gathered in my name, I am in the presence. I'm in that midst. In the midst mm-hmm. of them, and you know, we sometimes have Dr. Clarence, Dr. Shay. Why do we even experience nerves at times like this? You know,
see, a lack of confidence, or either insecurities from the past where we might have started to do something in public and we thought we failed, or we were embarrassed, or maybe even people ridiculed us. So now you have a natural tendency to be somewhat cautious about doing it, and your nerves let you know, I'm nervous about this because I have a fear from a past experience, something that didn't go well, or even something that I'm anticipating could go wrong. So it all goes back to some of our thought patterns. And good experiences encourage us to continue to do the same thing, whereas bad experiences somewhat hinder us. And that can even become a soul hole if you're going to draw back from, you know, being out there in the public or doing the things God wants you to do because you've had a moment that was very either humiliating or upsetting. So there are lots of ways we can, you know, approach restoring that confidence. And that's what I mean by restoration. God would not have you fearful. He would have you be confident.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. I hate to see this come to an end. I really do. I'm just being so blessed. We have one more caller that was on early in the broadcast, and she had to leave, and she was with us for about an hour, and she's back. I want to put this woman of God on the air. Area code 732, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman for the first time.
Good afternoon, Pastor Rebecca. How are you?
Good afternoon, Minister Griggs. How are you?
I am well. I've just been able to come back on the call, and I've been blessed by the last few minutes of the conversation. I've heard the ministry and the wisdom through Reverend Clara Shade. And so, yes, this is my first time calling in, but it's been a blessing.
Amen. Amen. Do you have any thing that you want to say or ask Reverend Shade, Dr. Shade?
I guess just tapping off the last conversation about the restoration piece. And if there's been a time in our lives when we felt, as Pastor Shade mentioned, perhaps where we felt humiliated or we felt we didn't do our best and we need another opportunity, and rebuilding that confidence and the woman of God, and in the few minutes that's left, if she can just speak about some of the steps that we can take, you know, for the process of restoration and restoring confidence and self-esteem in women.
Wow.
Ooh. Well, I think there's multiple layers, and you often hear me say that, but I think, first of all, the work in us, that we have to, anything that's not like God, we need to renounce it. Any stronghold in our mind that brings itself above the knowledge of God, we need to pull it down. So if God says that I am wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made, I need to rehearse that in my mind instead of the negative thing that happened when somebody said I was ugly or stupid or made me feel less than a kingdom conqueror. And when we individually work on ourselves, I believe that we show that confidence to people who respond to it. So opportunities will come. They'll come because God will design them to come, but they'll also come because we have influence in our circle. And when people feel something new from us, they respond to it. So it could be just the way we pick our head up and carry ourselves, or the way we might volunteer for something that in the past we would have died away from. I think all of these are steps in a process to help us to move forward with what God wants us to do. You know, I was a teenager, and people in my church, and I was the same teenager, but I was so quiet, people didn't know I could talk. And it was so amazing, really, it was so amazing to them that I would end up in a talking profession as well as in a vocation being a minister, because I was so quiet when I was a teenage girl, unless I was around my girlfriends. So, you know, public image can change, but they have to see the change in you. And I just believe that the work of the Holy Spirit, when he knows there's something that he's ready to launch in you, he's going to create opportunity the same way he created the world. So when it's your time, it's your time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor, thank you so much, Minister Griggs, for calling in and being with us and listening today. Dr. Shay, earlier you and I both gave a testimony about being sexually assaulted, and I know that plays a big part in low self-esteem and lack of confidence in the women of God, and even sometimes in the men of God. I know we only have 4 minutes. What is the best way, what is it the most important thing that we need to know about sexual assault going forward? If we've encountered it,
there's so many areas. One of them for sure is to understand that you didn't cause this event to happen. There's nothing bad or negative about you. You're not oversexed. There's not some bullet on your forehead that says, abuse me. I think that you have to absolutely understand that this was the sickness of the other person and that you didn't do anything to deserve that. And once you decide you're not going to be a victim, you become a survivor and a victor. And that means you have to relearn certain things about yourself. You have to see yourself as beautiful, and you have to be able to trust the God in you and the God of the universe that he's not going to continue to allow Satan's attacks to come near you. I think a woman that's been sexually assaulted, depending on the age and the severity of the assault, just like in domestic violence and abuse, you have to be recreated in a way that you understand that there's something unique about you that the enemy wanted to destroy. And once you get mad and sick enough at the devil, you begin to take this on a whole other way. And you decide for yourself that that's not going to be my destiny. That's not going to be who God has called me to be. So you begin to learn how to move yourself into circles and places with trustworthy men and women of God. Everybody that says hello to you doesn't want to sleep with you. All men are not dogs. You know, there's so many lessons that have to be retaught and rethought because of the damage that was done during those incidents. But trust, rebuilding trust requires that you be in a place where you not only learn to trust and forgive yourself, knowing that you didn't cause this, but also where you can be with people of God who can help restore your confidence that you're in a safe place.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Love to talk about that subject more. I know we're out of time for today, but it is so common. It happens so quickly.
Well, we don't have to be. Dr. Shay, we don't have to be out of time. I just gave us 90 minutes because I know your schedule was tight, but I can add 30 minutes if you want to, or you can come back. You have the choice.
Well, I think I'd like to come back because I want
okay.
to be point with specific things. There are a lot of women. We could plan that in advance. I would love to do
yes.
it.
Yes.
Because, they're taught one or two things. Either they're taught that this is the way I get attention, so they play into it, or they shut down the guard of their mind and their heart, and they don't let anybody near them forever.
Yes.
Neither one is a solution, and I would like to really talk to the women of God about that.
Amen. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you to all of my all of the callers. We did have one caller that was not there when we tried to put on the air. Area code 312, are you there? Okay, so she's actually not there. I know that was Erica calling from Chicago. She did let me know that she would be listening in today. I want to thank Dr. Clara Shay for being with us on today. She is the author of Conquering Soul Holds. Restored to Greatness. You can get a copy of her book by going over to her website, ClarenciaShade.com is her website. And also, I have so many notes here. What is the other Gifts of Healing? GiftsofHealing.net. You can go over to purchase a book. Get a copy of this book. How much is the book, Dr. Shade?
It's retailing for $18.99.
Oh, that is under $20. Oh my goodness, we could get a copy of, we could get a couple of copies. Get one for yourself and get one as a gift to give to another woman who you know has been through something in life and may be hurting. I'm going to pick up a copy or two myself, one for myself and one as a gift to someone that I know that would benefit from reading this book. Go and support the ministry of Dr. Clara Shade, but more importantly, get this book for yourself, ClarenciaShade.com, GiftsofHealing.net. Purchase the book, sign up for the mailing list, the phone number 877-734-0314. Get in contact with Dr. Clara Shade. Dr. Shade, thank you so much for being with me today.
And thank you, Pastor Rebecca. This is such a blessing to me as well.
Amen. Praise God. And you can listen to the archives if you're just tuning in, blogtalkradio.com/power. It will be available in about 10 minutes for anybody who just tuned in. I know our caller, Leslie. Leslie, you just tuned in. You can go back and listen to the archives. Healing for your soul, guaranteed by the power of God. Listen to the archives and tune in next week where I will be highlighting another woman of God. I'll go over to my website at nccmonline.org. Check my calendar. The Lord has some exciting things coming up. We have a women's conference next month, a youth conference in September, women's conference in October, and a marriage conference in November, where my husband and I will be launching our brand new book, Making Marriage Work. So we're looking forward to great things from God, and we look forward to seeing you all right here again on Woman to Woman. Dr. Shade, God bless you. I want to ask you, we're not streaming, but for the archives, will you just close us out in prayer?
Absolutely. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so thankful that you have anointed vessels all over the world to do your will, and we thank you right now for this opportunity through your choice servant, Pastor Rebecca. We ask you, God, that you would take this word and let it flow throughout the nations, God, so that healing and restoration could come to your people, no matter where they are, God. Let this word, let this book, let this information find them, God, and anoint it, oh God, to do the work and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. God, heal wounded vessels everywhere, so that it can be the powerful kingdom that you envisioned us to be. We thank you, God, now that you are allowing us to speak words of life to ourselves, to love ourselves, and to do the things, oh God, that would better the kingdom. Help us to be better women, better mothers, better daughters, better wives, oh God. Help us to be better sisters, oh God, so that the bitterness will not come out of us, oh God, but that love, peace, and kindness will come in the name of Jesus. We thank you now that as we depart from this place, that you will assign this archive for people to hear, oh God, and they will share it, and it will spread out like wildfire. We trust you and believe you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, women of God, go in peace. Thank you all for being here and for listening today, and I pray that you have been ministered to. Go in peace and serve the Lord. I love you. Thank you so
love
much,
you
Dr.
Too.
Shade.
All right.
Amen.
I be blessed.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
just